You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Playoff and Super Bowl games probably get their own list. But I bet if you asked Bill Belichick, this 46-rush, 3-pass game, was it his favorite game ever? He'd say yes. But if you ask Sean McDermott...
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick.
Yo! Let's go around the horn.
Hey! I feel like Bill's going to have some fun with that one down the road. Playing over and over again.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. Whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position at the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they were 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, saying I like my chances. With all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football.
Sean McDermott was trying to explain how fluky last night was, both in gameplay and in acts of God, right? The win. But Harry Lyles, does that reaction land or does it make you think more of Belichick and how the Patriots won?
This says everything about Bill Belichick, from the way that he coached that game to the reaction that he elicited from Sean McDermott. I mean, look, if you're Sean McDermott, I love Sean McDermott. What he's done in Buffalo has been nothing short of incredible, turning that franchise around. But hey, man, you gotta leave that one in the group chat. You gotta leave that one with your family, something. Because even though you might feel that way, and it's okay for you to feel that way, you can't take away from the greatest coach in football. This win is an incredible summary of Bill Belichick's tenure in New England. You've got a rookie quarterback. He only throws the ball 3 times. That's not an indictment on Mac Jones. That is Bill Belichick doing what he needs to do to win games. And it looks a variety of ways in his tenure in New England. This team just so happens to look like a lot like the 2001 Patriots, who played a lot of great defense, had a rookie quarterback by the name of Tom Brady, who didn't have to do everything but did later on in his career. So to me, yes, give Bill Belichick all the credit.
June Lee, did Sean McDermott make his point there, or did he make Belichick's point for him?
Yeah, I think Harry's spot on. I mean, Sean McDermott in that clip comes across as a bitter scorned lover. Like, there's a lot of just bitterness in that clip because he got outsmarted on a lot of instances last night. The Patriots won last night's game because they paid attention to a lot of the small details. They basically threw out their game plan when they saw the win and the fact that people were rolling over and people were looking at, like, you know, those used car tube things that, like, flip-flop in the air. You know, it was a game plan where they saw what was happening. They saw what was right in front of them, and they needed to make an audible right at the game plan because they needed to know that they need to run the ball because they weren't going to be able to throw going into the win last night.
George Sedano, when you hear Sean McDermott come out and say this wasn't about Belichick, you say?
I say that he's going to have to live that one down for a long time, probably. Although he's right, Tony, because here's the reality of it. This is the message he's trying to send, is that his players didn't execute the way they were supposed to. And if you're going to beat a Bill Belichick team, this Patriots team, you've got to execute for 4 quarters. I spent time this morning talking to a guy who played in the AFC East for a long time, and he said, as cliche as it sounds, that's the way this has to go. You have to have every detail down to a point, like June mentioned, for 4 quarters, and it's an ultimate chess match with him. Even if you think he's at a disadvantage, he's going to find a way to exacerbate your weakness, and that's what Belichick was able to do yesterday. Although, by the way, I do think it's pretty hilarious that Belichick got wind of this particular comment very quickly, because in his appearance, on WEEI this morning, he was asked how he felt, and he said, quote, a little rundown.
Okay. Sarah Spade, I'll bring you in here. Any part of last night, do you say, well, this was fluky, and McDermott's making some good points. They had all the chances to win. Right. This wasn't about Belichick. Any part of you?
Well, I do find it interesting that before the game started, we all kind of said, throw everything out. This is going to be a wild one. You're not going to be able to tell what we get from both of these teams because of the acts of God and otherwise. Okay. One of my favorite tweets of all time, Warren Sapp saying something was an act of God, A-C-T-I-V-E. I'm not sure if he knew what he was doing there. But honestly, when you look at it, Sean McDermott was adamant that this was not Bill Belichick winning this game. And he was right because it was him and the Bills losing it. The Pats went three and out four times. They only had three drives that were longer than 25 yards. They went 2 for 12 on third down. This wasn't Bill Belichick masterminding a perfect game that was perfectly executed. It was just that they did it better than McDermott and the Bills. And I do think it's funny that everyone, because of this comment from McDermott, is making this out to be a mastermind performance from Belichick, when in fact it was a really good job of making good use of what he had when he walked into that game with a team that was much better prepared to succeed in those conditions.
So there you go. You agree with McDermott. This wasn't mastermind Belichick. Lyle's back in after the horn.
Guys, best thing about this entire game, though, was pregame when Bill Belichick wore his Navy midshipman mask. He told us what he was going to do before the game and then ran the ball almost 50 times.
Yeah. I bet you he regrets even throwing those three times. I bet you it's killing him today. He could have pitched a perfect game. I mean, this game hadn't happened in the NFL in 47 years. Look at the spray chart there for Mac Jones. You'll never see anything like that again. The momentum to call the Patriots a rise in the AFC has been around the last couple of weeks. June, you were there 3 weeks ago when you had your power rankings and the Patriots near the top. So now everybody's jumping on. The most likely Super Bowl matchup right now, according to FBI, by the way, Buccaneers-Patriots. So hold on to your butts. June, go ahead. I already see the smile forming. Make the case for Patriots as favorites to win the AFC now.
I mean, what they've been doing this season is what Bill Belichick has done throughout the course of his entire tenure with the Patriots, which has been taking what he has, a bunch of players who can do a bunch of different things, and they change the game plan every single week so that he becomes impossible to scout the Patriots. They change the game plan. This is a team that looked different when they played the Titans. This is a team that looked different when they played the Chargers. You don't know what you're getting on a week-to-week basis. And then they also don't force Mac Jones to do things that he can't do. A lot of rookie quarterbacks right now are trying to do too much. They're trying to do the hero ball. With Mac Jones, they let him throw, they let him make accurate passes, then they balance it out with Ramondre Stevenson and Damien Harris with a strong running game, so the receivers are more open in the end zone. And then on top of all of that, you have a defense that's adjusted from week to week, switching from zone to man, and they're the number one defense in the NFL and continue to get better on a week-to-week basis right now.
Mm. All right, so AFC favorite, June Lee says. He also said they let Mac Jones throw. Singular, because it was almost that yesterday. One throw for the first half. George Sedano, are the Patriots the AFC favorites?
Tony, no, they're not, but they're near the top. They're tied for third right now overall at plus 750 with the Green Bay Packers. The only team in the AFC that's ahead of them, according to Vegas odds right now, are the Kansas City Chiefs. And I still think the Kansas City Chiefs are the team to beat, especially the way they've been playing lately. You've been seeing that defense coming for a long time now. And you heard Patrick Mahomes mention it the other day. If we can get our offense back to where we expect it to be, then we feel really good about where we are moving forward. And this game, look, it's clearly won in the margins, okay? The Patriots have done a fantastic job on defense. In their last five games, they've only allowed 3 points, which, by the way, was that field goal last night. They are certainly deserving of being part of this conversation, but no bigger margin than having Patrick Mahomes on your side, which is why I go with the Chiefs.
Sarah Spain.
I'm glad they're in the conversation.
Yeah, that was about, thank you, Sarah. We're in the conversation, George. You don't have to tell us we're in the conversation. This is the conversation.
By the way,
welcome. Go ahead, Sarah.
By the way, that Pats Bucks is only 10% likelihood, which shows you still how even the most likely matchup is still showing us the parity that exists across the top. I agree with George, though, that the Chiefs and the Pats are neck and neck. I would anticipate we're going to see some passing touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes in the coming weeks, an offense that looks a little stronger so they aren't depending on a defense that earlier in the season was among the worst in the league. So the fact that they are winning by that defense while the offense still has so much room to catch up leads me to think that they're a little bit ahead, just ahead.
And Harry Lyle.
I think that the Patriots should be up there. I'm still going with the Chiefs. The Chiefs and the Patriots both have the two best scoring defenses since week six. If you're asking me that's going to stick around or at least stay close to it, I'm going to bank on that Kansas City offense figuring it out and getting it together.
Since the Bills beat Kansas City and exercised that demon in week 5, this team is 3-4. That last play last night, Allen trying to go to Diggs when the all-out blitz left Beasley in the middle of the field seemingly open. The loss has them the last team in the playoffs right now. This is after the breakthrough they had in the AFC title game last year. Sarah, when you think about why the Bills are trending backwards, what's the major malfunction?
It's the same as it's been all season long, a lack of balance. They just can't get the run game going. You could look at Josh Allen's interceptions of late as part of the problem, but I think those come from a reliance on his arm and a lack of balance from the offense. They know what's coming, and they can't get the run going. It's balance, and it's been balanced since the start of the season, even when they had some success against teams that they're now
losing head-to-head to New England is huge, Sarah, but are you kind of throwing it out because of the active God, as you said, in this game? They don't have a running game. Their home field advantage was a disadvantage for them yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. You could say that Bill Belichick's game plan, especially putting 6 offensive linemen on for 60%+ of their plays, all of that stuff was very smart. They also came in with a great defense and a great running game, which is exactly what you need in a weird game like that. Not a guy with a rocket arm that still can't complete passes if the wind is taking them, you know, 5 feet off their target.
George Adana.
Tony, it is the lack of the running game. If you look, their two backs have less than 1,000 yards combined, you know, 400+ for Josh Allen. And here's the thing. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are actually really good when they run the ball. If you look at Pro Football Focus, they're ranked 15th and 21st overall as far as running backs when they actually run the ball. The problem is they're not very good at pass blocking. They're one of the worst pair of pass blocking backs in the league, and the Bills are passing too much, which puts them at a disadvantage at times.
Harry?
I think, look, Buffalo doesn't have the enforcers that they had last year. They're bad on both lines. But the other thing that Sean McDermott has said multiple times this season is the toughest thing is to maintain that success. And they're struggling that with that right now. And he realizes that.
June Lee.
Yeah, I think Sarah's spot on, just the lack of balance that Buffalo brings on a game-to-game basis. And I think that this is the difference between the Patriots and the Bills, where the Patriots have that consistency on a year-to-year basis, on that week-to-week basis. They're able to bring a lot of different looks. And on top of all of that, this is the most Buffalo Bills thing ever. They have that opening for 1 year to make the AFC Championship and be the kind of the team of the AFC East, and they blow
because
the Patriots.
Well, it's not over yet, June Lee. I know you think the Patriots are the favorite, but they missed a field goal from inside 35 yards because of the wind in one possession. Yeah. If not, they'd be kicking a field goal. And Allen, I mean, the Daboll, the offensive coordinator, the way they call in the red zone here, Allen had Beasley open on the last play. Nobody, I mean, if that goes the other way, then everything we just said about the mastermind of Belichick winning a game doesn't apply. One more thing I want to get your take on here, because you are reporters, all right? This is an exchange from after the game between Buffalo reporter Jerry Sullivan and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer.
Over 40 years since the team has won a game running that 2 times in a game, passing that 3 times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind
Boy,
of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that? I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that. This goes in disrespect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that. Don't do that.
In my day, players answer that kind of question.
George, I mean, you've covered games, you've been in that room before, you've called games embarrassing, efforts embarrassing, you know, maybe in moments on this show, or at least I don't want to put that on you, but we all have had a headline, embarrassing loss. How did you see that yesterday?
Tony, I've had a lot of those interactions live on television, not just in the press room where you actually have time to think about this stuff. I didn't like the tone of the question because embarrassing, you're basically telling them how they should feel. I'm always of the opinion you ask an open-ended question about, well, you know, this situation happened. It hasn't transpired in X amount of years. How does that make you feel? What does that make you think of? Like, how did the guys feel in the locker room after that performance? Don't tell them how they should feel. That's just
that.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, they didn't offer up a lot of points. Like I said earlier, they really put a lot of stops on the Pats. I don't know. It was embarrassing for them. And to George's point, the question should be, how does this make you feel? Or when you hear this, what do you think? Not, was that embarrassing? That's implying that they should be embarrassed. It's not a great question to start with. And then it does sound insulting.
Your thoughts on that? Take a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side in 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Kenny Pickett, Aiden Hutchinson, the Heisman Trophy finalists. The most wide open year in recent history, maybe up until this last week. This top four could have been a top eight. Kenneth Walker, Will Anderson, Matt Corral, legit cases to win. They don't even get a trip to New York. Harry, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm buying Bryce Young as the Heisman winner. After what he did to Georgia last week, you've got to give it to him. He statistically meets the profile, but also what Georgia's defense did to offenses throughout the season, and for him to come out and do what he did was massive. However, I do have one gripe here. If we're going to pretend to tip our hat and give credit to defensive players, Aiden Hutchinson, awesome, but Will Anderson needs a plane ticket to New York. He was the best defensive player in the country with 15 and a half sacks and is being compared to the great Derek Thomas. Give him some due as well.
Jun Lee, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm buying Bryce Young winning the Heisman Trophy. I think that the big X factor in what Alabama's season trajectory was going to look like was completely dependent on how good Bryce Young was actually going to be at the quarterback position. I think before the season, you know, there was talk about whether or not Alabama could maybe lose two games, and it was completely dependent on whether or not Bryce Young was going to step up and be the type of young quarterback that Alabama needed him to be. And so I think that this is his trophy to lose at this point.
George Dano.
Tony, no one has a bigger spotlight on them than Alabama, and Bryce Young is the centerpiece of that. They didn't have a running game this year that they could depend on in a big way. They lost receivers as time went by. And in that game, he went from like minus 300 to win to minus 4,000 as the favorite. I'm buying Bryce
Young. It was
Young.
Wide open, I said, up until the last week. Sarah Spain, is this unanimous now?
Well, I'm buying that he'll win, but I'm selling that their reliance on quarterbacks continues, especially when Will Anderson, to Harry's point, not only led the FBS in sacks, but had far better numbers than Hutchinson in tackles and tackles for loss. There should be more defensive players getting the nod in a wide open season like this, where your numbers can go from minus 400 to minus 4,000 just because of one good game.
Well, it was also that drive against Auburn, right, with the season on the line, 97 yards in the last minute. Buy or sell two. News of the day, Paige Beckers. Fractured tibial plateau, out 6 to 8 weeks. That might be a breath of relief, tells you how bad the injury looked when it first happened. How this injury came to be is still also intriguing. She was in a 20-point game with less than a minute left. Gino Auriemma doesn't know why. She's a pain in the butt when she's on the bench. I don't have an answer for why she was in the game. That's what Auriemma said, Sarah. Buy or sell Auriemma's answer there.
Well, he also said, I don't like my team when she's not in the game, which is similar to what he said a couple weeks ago about how he's got a bunch of guys that can't play a lick and they're stubborn. The best case scenario is that all those players that can't play a lick get a lot of playing time and some confidence during Paige's absence. Worst case scenario is that Gino has deflated them of their confidence and further makes them feel like they can't contribute, and now they're in big trouble while Paige is out.
Yeah, I mean, can they not play a lick at UConn?
At UConn?
I mean, so why was he?
How's your recruiting, friend?
Harry Lyles on Auriemma's answer here, and Becker's out for 2 months.
I sell on the idea that it's his fault at Paige Beckers. What makes her so great is the fact that she wants to be out on the floor in those moments. I do also agree with Sarah, though. It's hard for Gino to kind of be out here and kind of have those thoughts and comments on his players in a public way like that. And, you know, Wright Thompson wrote a profile on Geno that would explain why he's like that. However, I think that Geno should show up more of a measure of, you know, confidence in his team because they are ultimately supposed to be an extension of him.
Yeah, I think building off of Sarah's quotes that Geno has talked about his team this year, I kind of worry about the mental health of Paige Bueckers because she's getting a lot of pressure put on her as kind of the centerpiece of this team, as the person who this team needs to depend on. She's someone who has become a really big star since she was in high school. She's part of this NIL wave that's happened with Gatorade. There's a lot of pressure on her. I think Geno needs to make sure to protect her and everything that happens around her.
That's on one level, protecting her. On the basketball floor, she played a lot of minutes, George Sedano, both in the game before this and in this game when they were up by 20.
Yeah, Tony, I'm selling Geno Auriemma here, not only to that point, but yeah, if she's your best player and no one else can play a lick, then you should protect her in a 20-point game because the more she's out there unnecessarily, the bigger risk for injury there is.
Sarah Spain, Chun Lee, 2020 vision today. But not enough to make it into Showdown. Harry Lyles, George Sedano. Showdown, 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
George Sedano, Harry Lyles Jr., good luck in Showdown. Trivia question for you for a point. The all-time record for career three-pointers in the NBA. Who's got the record?
Ray Allen.
I know, quick on the draw there. Take two. You know who's going to break it?
Steph Curry.
I heard, Lyles. First, here's your point there. He's 16 back right now. It says anything's possible. Could break it in his next game tomorrow night versus Portland. The all-time record for threes in the game is 14, Sedano. What are the chances Steph gets 16 tomorrow night?
I'm going to give him a 16% chance, Tony, because he's already told the media, you never know. So he's certainly gunning for it. I'll give him at least a shot to break the all-time record individually and overall.
I'm giving him 50%. He's 50% because, look, he has made it to where we could even think this is possible. 50%, why not?
50% to break the all-time per game record by over 10%? Wow. Side with Sedano. Point there. We'll move on. Mario Cristobal introduced today at Miami. And everybody made the same joke. Checkmate Brian Kelly. The school, by the way, gave him a jersey. Check this jersey out. Harry, did they get the sizing right on the jersey?
Guys, little known fact, the U also stands for undersized jersey. They did not get the size right. Get that man an XL.
Tony, we've talked a lot about reporting on this show. I've done some reporting. The SID at Miami told me that is an authentic jersey. It's probably for a wide receiver, though, not an ex-offensive lineman.
Spandex because it fits over the pads. Is that what you're saying? I like
yes.
it. I think it's a tight fit. We'll move on to a George Sedano FaceTime.
Tony, thank you very much, and that certainly would be right up your alley, that spandex. First of all, how awesome is this for the University of Miami for Mario Cristobal coming home? Miami is a special place and needs a special leader, someone who understands what it takes to win there. Mario's a two-time champion there, and he certainly understands how to recruit as well as anyone, particularly that area. He'll keep a lot of kids home. It's going to be a great day to be part of the year.
What was the
And oh, one last thing. Yeah. One last thing, Clara said, his mom, that she would throw a shoe at him because he spoke poor Spanish. Here you go, Clara.